Welcome to Moon to Moon. This is Britton LaRue, your host. I'm an astrologer, I'm a writer, and I'm a teacher. And on Moon to Moon, I like to talk about processes for self-healing, for empowerment, for calling yourself back home in the language of astrology, the tarot, and lunar living, as in working with the moon cycle. So right now, I'm in the middle of a series of episodes where I'm talking with another human being about the teachings, the medicine, the ways of working with a particular element in your life. Now, for some people, working with the elements is a concept that you maybe can't even imagine living without. Like, throughout your whole day, you're aware that like you're tapped into a kind of elemental quality that's infusing the things that you're doing. And it's just such a big part of your life. And for other people, it may be like, the elements? What? And I like to think that Moon to Moon is a place where you can really come from any level of wherever you are with this language and feel welcomed in. So I always like to do definitions because I think that not only are definitions helpful for people new to certain terms that I use a lot, but I think they're also very helpful to practitioners, to people who feel a comfort with certain words, because every being is going to have a different way of talking about the similar things. And for me, what's helpful and exciting and amazing about symbolic language, astrology is an example of a symbolic language, is that with symbol, there's an infinite number of possibilities for where you can take word association, you know? That means that the terms that we use, like fire in this episode, are multivalent, meaning that they have the capacity for many meanings. They're holographic. And at any given moment, when you're working with a lot of the terms of astrology, most of the terms of astrology or the tarot, you are like inspired by like one or several facets of a many faceted, countlessly faceted gem, you know? And so to have an episode about fire could never be to say everything that there is about fire. It is to just like alight upon, to land upon a facet of fire that's ready to be talked about. And so in this opening segment, I'm going to talk about some ways that I talk about fire, think about fire, live fire in my life, and how I talk about it with clients, how I talk about it with students, and how I want to work with the element of fire in my upcoming spring course, which I'll be talking about more in a minute. And then I want to share with you an absolutely incredible conversation that I had with a major leader, an incredible teacher, a huge force in the field of astrology, who is Heidi Rose Robbins, who is all about fire. Her podcast, her work is centered around the idea of radiance. And I'm so in joy while we were talking, because she was bringing up so many facets of fire that I don't really think about as much, you know? And it just made me feel so happy that I allowed myself to open up this teaching, this offering to a conversation space as opposed to like a lesson space, which is my normal style because my background is in teaching. And allowed this other voice to come in and light me up, and I know will light you up. And it just makes these episodes so much more rich. And I know this is like the obvious thing. This is what people do on podcasts, is have guests. But for me, it's something I'm getting used to, that I don't, this doesn't have to be just me doing this thing. It can be many things, and it becomes more exciting and more fun by opening it up to more voices. So there's just going to be more and more of that across the year. And I'm so excited for Moon to Moon as, you know, a being of its own. I really, really have stepped into 2021 in this really relational focus around the things that I do. And I'm really feel myself to be in relationship with Moon to Moon as not me, you know, like Moon to Moon is its own being, and I'm listening to it and I'm caring for it as it's helping me understand what it wants to be. And it's all very exciting. And as you can imagine, when you have a creative baby that you're putting out in the world, it's a process of like ego shedding and loosening of control to not manage, try to get out of the let me tell you who you are Moon to Moon space that I was more operating in. Although I think I've been pretty good at listening, to now moving into a space of like, I don't know. I'm just attuning to what feels like the next appropriate move according to what Moon to Moon wants, you know? And so I'm excited to continue to share that with you if you enjoy this podcast over the course of the coming months when changes to the platform are going to continue to come in. So let's get into fire. So the reason I'm doing this slew of episodes is because I'm doing this spring course called The Magician's Table, a workshop circle for emerging readers. And I know many of you heard the Air episode or the Magician's Table episode, but maybe you haven't. So let me just briefly walk you through this. So the Magician's Table is a concept that was singing inside of me all of 2020, with this idea of like, we're each a magician at our table. And thinking of the Magician card in the Smith Rider Waite tarot deck, and that before the magician figure are these tools that symbolize each of the suits of the tarot, which in turn symbolize each of the elements. Water for cups, wands are fire, swords are air, and pentacles are earth. And the magician has one arm raised up to the sky, like channeling something from above or something that's coming in, channeling the being of the magician, you. And with the other hand pointed to the ground, it's like bringing the inspiration down to the plane so that people can see it. How do you do that? It's a between the relationship you have with your tools and the relationship you have with your channel. And so I am creating the spring class for 12 people who feel themselves to be emergent. To be emerging as a reader means that you're coming forth from a place of concealment or having been hidden. Now, different people will be coming from total concealment to like maybe not so concealed because you already have a website or an Instagram, or you already have some clients, maybe things like that. But maybe you're just not fully there in like a sense of claiming the name reader, claiming the identity, like kind of giving yourself a new name, so to speak, in a rite of passage sense. And so it is my deep desire to help people move through the passage that I went through not so long ago, mostly by myself, with the help of some coaches here and there, with the help of some mentors here and there, with the help of people at the same level of me who I value so much. And help you move through a point where you begin, where you're like not sure you're ready, like you maybe feel ridiculous, you're worried that you're gonna you know, be behind, quote unquote, the other people in the group. Maybe you're just not sure, like, what am I actually going to get from this, you know? And then through the process, you grow personal and professional skills, inner and outer healing. It's going to be a chrysalis for shadow work. And most importantly, it's going to be a fellowship space where, as a circle, you build a witnessing and a rapport and a deep respect for one another. And then you will have these people to turn to connect with, to even collaborate with and do things with for years to come. So we kick off at the end of March, and applications will open March 12th for the people on the waiting list, which you can sign up for at my website. And then 3 days later, it will open to everybody else. And I'm just going to take the first 12 who are ready to commit. So there you have it. But let's get into fire for all of us, right? So fire, fire. To me, fire has a lot to do with our energy. It's what lights us up. It's when we are lit. It is an energy that wants to move. It wants to move from down, from below to up. It moves upward, fire. So it maybe kindles or begins in our lower belly or in our root or in our will space, and it wants to come up and move through the heart and then come through the eyes, and we're like sparkling and we're lit. And you know you're talking to someone with a lot of fire because they're like, things are getting faster and like they're so excited. There's just so much energy, you know? So fire is that energy in us. It's really, it's not verbal. It's a feeling. It's a spirit that runs through us, and it has a life force energy to it. Let me read from the fire section of one of my fire workbooks. Whenever we are working with fire, we're talking about our animating spirit. The word animating comes from the Latin verb animar, meaning to give life to. Think about the word animation as it applies to film. And see, I thought of this because I'm alchemizing here my former life as a graduate student, and I was really into anime and theories of anime, history of anime and animation. And so I've just like read and written a lot on animation. And so as I was thinking about fire, I just was thinking about my background. I was just thinking about the animation, what animation is and how that applies to us and our own fire. Reading myself then. Still images drawn or sculpted or designed by a human are, quote, animated to create the illusion of movement. The animator Norman McLaren once said, animation is not the art of drawings that move, but rather the art of movements that are drawn. What happens between each frame is more important than what happens on each frame. What happens between each frame? This suggests that the essence of the animating power we witness is really about the infusion of a life force or soul spirit that we sense between the frame. I feel into the metaphysical power of this idea as we can apply it to ourselves. And I say, your fire energy is the life force that animates the space between your very cells. It is your energy. The health of your fire is about the health of your life force energy. Taken in another way, your capacity to trust in and feel intimate with your creativity, sexuality, and confidence is related to the health of your fire signs. Aries is cardinal fire, energy ignited like the spark of a match. Leo is fixed fire, energy that's tended like a bonfire. Sagittarius is mutable fire, energy that leads you like a torch. You use your fire signs differently, but they all speak to your overall life force energy. Ideally, you move your fire around from one sign to the next. The Aries in you has the initiative and the bravado to start something. The Leo in you has the pride and the self-esteem to tend the thing and let it grow and be seen. The Sag in you has the optimism and the trust to let it lead you into new territory and connect with other lights. You want your fire to loop from one creative part of self to the next, feeding and warming and animating your spirit. So something that we can come into with our fire self is we can feel stifled, or we can feel stagnant. Like, these are some words that we would associate with fire stuff. So like if a client comes to me and they say like they're stuck and they're stagnant, then I'm immediately like on the scent of something going on with fire, you know, or with their Mars, the ruler of Aries, with their Sun, the ruler of Leo, or with their Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius. And so for me, for my part, I felt for a lot of my 30s, I felt so stagnant. Like, I didn't exercise. I couldn't like feel like I was jump-starting anything. I couldn't get something going. I felt just so buried. And I've said it in other places, but kind of miraculously, I started running around my birthday in, I guess that was 2016. And I just kept running. And about 10 months after I started running, I did my first half marathon. And then 10 months after I did my first half marathon, I did my first marathon. And then I did 3 marathons in a row. I didn't do one last season because of COVID. So I haven't been running as much lately. And I feel the consequences of that. I've been running again lately, and it's really lighting me up and feels good. Your brain can be, my brain can be like, I don't have time for that, you know? But I always feel so much better, and I have the best clear thoughts when I'm exercising. So when I started running, I didn't know that I was an Aries rising, and I didn't know that my progressed Mars had just moved into the fifth house of hobbies. And don't worry if you don't know what any of that means. But suffice to say, I learned after the fact that the timing of that was quite astrologically precise. And important to my momentum and direction in life, because if Mars rules your rising sign, if you're Aries rising or Scorpio, then having a connection to that, like that just drive energy of Mars is really, really helpful. And if it's being pushed down, like for me, I just like wasn't skillfully exerting my will, wasn't skillfully connected to my personal agency in this life, I wasn't doing so great. But the more I've connected to personal agency is like a lot of what my direction is about, the more like momentum my life seems to have, to the point where now I'm like, my momentum is so strong that I'm trying to open it out and do more collaborating and sharing of what I'm putting out there to kind of like maybe even slow the fire, you know. And it's funny because Heidi brings that up about my chart in our interview. Just like, okay, fire, like we can like, let's just focus on like this one zone now and stop spreading. This is can happen with fire once we get it started. It's definitely my relationship to sexuality, my relationship to just my just how to talk to my, how to not talk to, because it doesn't talk, how to like listen to and be relational and engaging with my fire has just really changed my life. So I have a lot of respect and gratitude for everything that I've been able to learn there. With fire, we also think about the wands, you know, in the tarot. I loved to think with the wands about this idea of, like, in Harry Potter, when they go to Ollivander's wand shop and Harry's, like, trying several different wands and none of them are working correctly for him and his magic. And it was really like the wand needed to find him, as he needed to find the wand. And it was like, that was the wand for him. And as soon as he put his hand on that wand, like, the whole room lights up and there's wind blowing everywhere. And it's like, oh, he's found it, you know? I like to think about this idea that we all have a wand that we're here to hold. I think the problem, at least for me, was that I was always looking around at everybody else doing their things and like, I should really be doing that. Like, I should be doing that. I should be doing that. And just like signing myself up for all kinds of stuff, saying yes all the time, getting myself kind of bogged down in a bunch of wands that were not for me, you know? And thus I had no connection to, my wand couldn't find me, you know? My wand couldn't find me. Because I was just so, like, stuck in noise of, like, volunteering for all kinds of things that's not really, like, for me, you know? Looking at just what other people are doing and being really and genuinely inspired by it and being like, maybe I could do that, you know? Instead of really listening to myself. It's like, what gets your energy going? That's how you know. What expands your heart? What lights you up? What makes you like super excited to wake up every day so much that you get up before your alarm? Just like, I can't wait to do these things, you know? So what is the wand that you're holding? It can be really helpful as a fire device for centering. So in the magician's table, some of the personal practices that we'll be working on, and whether you're going to take up this class or not, these are things you can think about. It's like reactivity practices for looking at reactivity within yourself. Because when we're reactive, we're really not responding from a skillful place or an empowered place. Something that I've learned from Caroline Casey. We're going to be thinking about really noticing once your fire and like identifying when it's talking to you, how to hear it. Really trying to clear out other people's fire. Like really, Mars is separating energy. Like clear it out. Like it's not yours. You know, just like that's somebody else's way of doing things. Clear it out because that'll help you hear yourself. Looking at hypervigilance, competitiveness, and like how to recognize it in yourself and work with it when it comes up. Some things we'll work on for personal practices are like fear of visibility. That can be a huge one. That's been huge for me, especially if there's any family, ancestral, or past life trauma around being seen actually being a threat to your life. We'll be doing a lot of heart listening and listening to like the inner spirit. In outward ways, professional ways, we'll be working on naming yourself as a leader, as a guide, as a seer, and as a reader. Really coming into self-naming is one of my favorite intentions for the circle. And really also identifying like what is the torch that you're holding as a leader out in the world that you want to like call people to. You're calling people to a torch that you're holding. So what's like the quality of the fire that is in that torch? How is it different than somebody else's? What makes us special? So I'm very excited to grow that with the individuals that magnetize. And please reach out if you have any questions. And do sign up for the wait list, because the people who sign up there, they're not obligated to do anything or invest, but it allows them to have first access to the applications. So without further ado, I really just want to jump into the episode with Heidi so you can hear her wisdom and you can enjoy our conversation about fire and many other things. So I first discovered Heidi really early on in my astrological studies. Really early on, I found out about her Instagram and her podcast and began listening and really, really, really enjoying her moon notes that she puts out every day on her Instagram, which is like just a little note of encouragement from the moon based on the sign the moon is in. And they're always just spot on. My Instagram knows that I love them because that's the first thing I see every day. She's been doing this for like 3 years now. It's incredible. Every single day. That's her Capricorn moon really coming through there. And just basically like anyone who you see as an inspirational teacher, mentor, and leader, I just carry a lot of admiration for her. So it was a huge professional moment for me when she invited me on her podcast last summer 2020, to talk about living the signs. And that was an incredible time for me. And I continue to find people through that conversation that we had. So let me read you from her formal bio. Heidi grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, with an astrological father and an architect mother, learning the zodiac with her ABCs. She holds an MFA in acting, has published 2 books of poetry, and just released a new book series of astrological love letters for each sign of the zodiac. She has performed 2x for TEDx in Los Angeles. Heidi has also led Radiant Life retreats for over 10 years and has a thriving astrology practice with clients from around the world. Heidi lives in Los Angeles with her husband and 2 children. So without further ado, I'm very excited to share with you my conversation on fire with Heidi Rose Robbins. Hi, Heidi. Thank you for being here.
So happy to be here, Britton. Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate your time. I was thinking about this idea of having different leaders, different teachers come on and talk about each of the elements. And you're the first person I thought of for fire, because I just think about fire as being tied to inspiration. And I find you to be such an inspirational person and such an inspirational person in the field of astrology. And then, of course, I know that you have a lot of fire in your chart. So thank you for coming on to talk about fire and anything else we might get into today.
Well, you know, best invitation ever. Talk about fire, happily. Happily.
I thought we might begin. I love definitions and like really grounding into terms that we use. And so, you know, as a teacher and a writer, I find that I often use some similar language when I'm talking to people to define the words that I use. So I'm wondering if you would share with us to begin the key words and the key phrases that you use when you talk about fire to maybe someone who's never even conceived of fire within themselves or within other people.
Beautiful. Well, fire to me is about burning away obstruction. And when I think about it in terms of astrology, I think about it also as burning away any obstruction to the true self. And so I love the idea that it's, you know, it might be through creativity, it might be through any kind of passionate endeavor, it might be through questing, but we are burning brightly and generously and with great warmth to get to the heart of the matter, you know, to get to the essence. And because fire burns us to the essence. And so, you know, yes, it's engaging and it's initiating and there's great enthusiasm with fire, and great passion and it's fun to watch, you know, fire. But I think at the heart of hearts, when I talk about fire, I think about it as burning to the essence.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I had not ever phrased it that way in my mind. And now,
Now I have new keywords that I can lean on. I love this. Thank you. I'm wondering, when you were a child and your father was an astrologer, is this correct, or is an astrologer?
Yes.
did your parents talk to you about the elements and about fire within yourself? And when you look back at little you, can you see the fire in yourself growing up?
Yes, for sure. My dad is an Aries. He has a birthday just one day before mine. And he would often talk with me about being an Aries. And I don't remember specifically him talking to me about the elements, but I do remember drawing and coloring chakras at the kitchen table. And that, you know, that was like, let's sit down and learn about the different energy centers. You know, I do remember that. And I remember that it was just fun to choose all the different beautiful colors. And he always would speak to me also about the Leo in my chart and the idea of radiance. And he was the one that said to me a phrase that I always use now with my clients, which is never compromise the true radiant self. And so, you know, he was always talking about radiance and light and warmth and fire. So yes, I guess so, though I don't remember specifically like these are the four elements conversation, you know.
Yes. Do you remember yourself as being particularly radiant as a child?
I think I gave myself a lot more permission as a child than I did through my 20s and 30s and 40s. I mean, like, I think that I gave myself a lot more permission to just be a bright light and not really second guess it in a way. So, I mean, I remember saying, I would go into the kitchen and I would say to my dad, watch me, you know, and I would do a tap dance and then I would want applause apparently, you know, so that was, if that was not Leo, I don't know what was, but, and I was in theater and, you know, I loved to shine forth in that way and explore who I was in that way. So yeah, I was definitely a little fiery being.
I love that. How did you come up with the term, the Radiance Project?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that honestly, for as long as I can remember, I have always thought about the heart and the sun at the center of the chest, like the heart. And I've always thought about how do we share and grow the love of the heart. And so, you know, I've always thought about shining forth in some way or another. That's just been a theme from my life from the get-go. I probably can find poetry from when I was 9, you know? So the Radiance Project, you know what it is? When I think about the project piece, I'm remembering now, Roberto Assagioli, who created psychosynthesis and was a really profound teacher and disciple, he created something when he was working with Meditation Mount in Ojai. He created something called the Will Project, and he wanted to study the will and the energy of the ray of will and power. And so I was very inspired by that, and I was like, well, I want to study radiance, so I decided on the Radiance Project.
I love that. It's funny, I was just learning about this figure that you mentioned, just listening to a podcast, Mark Jones was talking about that thinker and that writer, and I've been wanting to look into it. Now you've said it, so I think that I'm officially getting signs that I need to look into this person.
Yeah, he's pretty powerful being and did a lot of good work in growing the educational component of esoteric psychology and esoteric education in general.
Yes. Okay. So he had the Will Project.
Yes. Yes.
Cool.
And he wrote a book called The Act of Will. And because he was a very gentle person and a very sensitive person. And his teacher, the Tibetan Joal Kul, would write to him about how he needed to cultivate the will and for to do the work that he had to do. So even as this very sensitive being, he made it his study and his practice to learn how to bring in this energy of power and will.
So it was to really guide himself, and that helped him then teach others and to lead others.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you feel like your work with Radiance came from the struggle to find Radiance or more the desire to grow it in others as you felt it in yourself?
I think that's a good question. I think I have a poem that I wrote called Burn. And I think that in that poem, I'm asking myself, how do I get beyond the doubt? How do I get beyond the self-sabotage? How do I get beyond, you know, we all have this voice, right? This inner voice. And all I can think anytime an obstruction like that comes up is it has to be melted away. It has to be burned away. You know, the molten lava love core at the center of our being has to win the day. And so I think that it's been my practice over many, many years, to extend that. And then it's been my joy as a teacher to encourage the heat and the light in others and to encourage, you know, radiance is inductive. If my heart torch is lit and I am with you, you're going to start to feel the heat and the warmth in your own, you know, your own heart, your own light. And so I'm very interested in how we can be, how this can be passed rapidly, you know, and how we can remind each other that of our inherent light. So I guess both and in a way.
I love that so much too, because when I'm working with my inner critic, my air, you know, my brain wants to counter the inner critic and then move into a dialogue. And I love this idea of coming at the inner critic from a fiery place and just burning it with my passions, with my joys, with my love for things. So that's a really great tip that I really appreciate, because I think sometimes we can like solve problems with maybe one element. We get used to like, this is how I'm going to tackle this thing. You know, it's like, and then we just come at it from kind of the same root every time. But sometimes I think playing with a different element as a different way into things can sometimes open up creative solutions. So that was just one you gave me. So thank you.
I love that. I think that's a really wise thing that you said as well, that sometimes we just keep on banging our head against the wall with a particular elemental approach. And if we just invited someone else to tea, invited someone else in to, you know, bring its medicine, things can happen much more easily sometimes.
Yes. So how do you, when you're working with a client and let's say someone might be feeling stagnant, like they're saying words that suggest a kind of stagnancy or a lack of being connected to the fire, their fire self. What do you like to say to try to bring that inspiration or bring that light back into them?
Well, we're so lucky, aren't we? Because we have this gorgeous map that we get to say, I see you. I see what's there. I know what's there. Don't try to kid me. You know, I mean, like you really, it's non-negotiable. It's there. And so I feel like half the reason, three quarters of the reason why I do astrology or use astrology as a beautiful tool is because I believe in enkindling or encouraging another, you know, and I just simply say in different words, but I basically just say, I see you. And I say, what about this? And what about that? And, yes, this is a particular moment you're in. This is a particular cycle you're in, but guess what? Guess what's coming? Guess what's available to you? Guess what the highest possibility of this sign is? And you are embodying it. And, you know, so, and you can watch someone just weep or light up within minutes when they remember who they are, when they remember their inner name, you know, and that's the gift that we have as astrologers, is we have this amazing treasure chest that we can say, look at this jewel, look at this. Right? And then we can have a sense of humor too. I think fire sometimes has a good sense of humor too, like just a lightness about it somehow, that yes, you might be feeling stuck. Yes, you might be feeling wretched about yourself, but so to everyone. And here we go. How can we get in there and wrestle with it and fix that?
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was wondering for you, thinking about, so for me, I'm an Aries rising and I love to start things.
Like, yes.
No shortage, no shortage of inspiration around here. You know, it's just like journaling. It just comes out. And then I get into these situations of having to then hold all of these things that I signed myself up for all the way through and just staying with the thing. And I see someone like you so full of inspiration and also so good at tending the fire, like just really being with it over long periods of time. And I know you have a Capricorn moon and you have a lot of earth in your chart too, so that's helping you out. But I'm wondering how, what do you draw on in yourself when you find yourself in a long period of time with something that inspired you initially? And then there are days where you're like, I just don't even want to know if I want to do this because I want to start this other thing. Yeah. How do you get that?
it's such a good and complicated question, because I think that there is power in that endurance. And then there's also something to look at carefully about whether, you know, one should constantly see through, because I will die seeing something through, you know, and I will burn out seeing something through. But I'll focus on the positive part, and I'll say that there's something in me that when I commit to something, I always imagine who's on the other side, and I imagine that I promised that I'd show up, and I just don't like to let people down. And maybe that's also a, you know, something to be examined. But, you know, there's something, it's been so fascinating with the moon notes that I've been writing now for 3.5 years. And I mean, I have never missed a day, and it's getting to this point where I'm like, I should just on purpose miss a day, because this is getting ridiculous. Like I'm putting too much pressure on myself. You know, like I was like leaving on a boat in Ireland, and I had to write this note at the last minute on a piece of, you know, a scrap bag. And I'm like, I'm going to take a picture. The boat's taking off. And I'm like, it was crazy. But I guess I just, there's something that is so satisfying for my earthy self in a way that just is about, like, I said I would show up and I showed up and I brought my best self. And even when I'm so grumpy about it and so like, you've got to be kidding me, I just saw clients all day and now I have to write a moon note. You know, I'm like, even when I'm feeling that way, it's a practice of burning through. It's a practice of burning through the obstruction, like I was saying earlier. So,
well, thank you.
But I like to create things too, Britton. I'm always like inventing things. And so then I just have to really sit down with my most rigorous discerning friends who tell me no. Or yes.
The moon notes, you know, the algorithm understands my relationship to them because they're the first thing that I see when I open Instagram every day. Oh, here we go. The day begins with the moon notes. So thank you for that endurance. But I also wonder about them. Do you have practices of like holding a trove of nuggets that you come up with in a flash of inspiration so that on days when you don't have a lot of time or whatever, something's going on, you have this like little world over here where you can pull things and help your future self out basically by having it there for you?
I wish I did. I will say what I do have is I have like notebooks that I've filled over many years that I will sometimes just open up and be like, inspire me, find a good quote or, you know, whatever. So, but I mean, I remember reading like, or taking some course about how, you know, you should always have like 25 blog posts ready to go. And I'm like, I'm going to have them ready to go, you know, whatever it was these years ago. I don't. But but when I'm really feeling frustrated or feeling blocked, I will just boot myself out the door and walk around the block, or I'll just get a little quiet and soft. Or now my husband will sometimes, I'll be like, will you draw something today? Because he's been, you know, he's been doing some beautiful artistry with the moon notes. And so sometimes I just am like, please help me.
And they're wonderful too. So that's a good way of helping you, like with delegating, right? I think delegating can be really helpful to the Aries that gets things going.
So true.
What's your, you know, sometimes I have a moment where I think, thank goodness I was born a Pisces sun, or thank goodness I was born with this or that placement, you know, just feeling so grateful to live the experience. What is your favorite thing about being an Aries sun?
Oh, good. I would say that the spirit of springtime, I would say the accessibility to the spirit of springtime is my favorite thing about it. And also I will say the other thing is, I can be really good at coming up with ideas for other people about like how to take their next life step forward. And I love it because it's kind of like a little gift. I'm like, well, what about this? And it's just like one of those intuitive things that comes in, the spark of the idea. But I've had enough friends now that I've, you know, had, what about this? That actually the little business grows, or the da 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 da, you know, and that thrills me to just have this sort of, you know, aha moment. I love those aha moments.
Yes, I do too. This is a little more advanced for some listeners, but I have my progressed Mercury and Sun in Aries right now in my first house. And I feel like I'm really grateful for that, because I find myself willing to do all kinds of things that maybe I should probably step back and like ask myself if I'm ready for this. And I just like, gonna go for it, you know, just go for it. So,
well, I think it's so beautiful. I mean, I know a little bit of your chart, and I know that you've just, you know, recently moved into the fire in your progressed moon as well. And I think it's beautiful to watch what you've been doing. Fire moves so rapidly, and you really have been moving rapidly in your creation over the last, you know, many years, but I would say solidly, really, over the last year, you've been just like boom, 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 boom. And I mean, that's a gift of fire too. It's just like once you have that passion, it just, you just want to burn, burn, burn. You just want to create. And it's so gorgeous to watch, you know?
Yes. Yes, I feel that very much. I'm remembering now, I feel like when we spoke on your podcast, maybe my moon had just moved. My progressed moon had maybe just, like that day.
Yeah, it was in July, I think. Yeah. That was wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. My progressed Mars moved into Leo that very week. I started a running practice. It was wild. Fifth house of hobbies. So it's these progressions. They're so fascinating. Yes.
They really are. I do love the best chart.
Yes. So let me think. What are some, and you've kind of answered this already, but I'm thinking a lot right now about supporting people who are looking into being readers or being astrologers, people who are in creative practices, talking with them about how to see the external signs when maybe something internally is a little out of balance, and sharing ways that I can tell, like maybe my fire is, you know, charged with kind of maybe competitiveness, or like maybe my fire is charged with like a little more impulsivity that might be good for me. Sometimes my fire might be charged with a little bit more of like dogma than I want to be bringing. And so I was just wondering if there's any things you might share with yourself when you're working on your own fire within yourself, if there's like external signs for you, like symptoms, we might say, where you're like, aha, and you kind of want to go back in with yourself to see what's going on.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, one of the things with having a lot of fire, and we've already mentioned it, is this kind of total burnout where you just go and you suddenly realize you're hanging by a thread, you know? And I really notice that in myself when I'm just, sometimes I catch myself just teaching and talking and talking and teaching and teaching and talking. And then I realize that I have not made any room for any inspiration to enter, like any drop of the present moment, you know? And so I'm always trying to be vigilant around softening and creating spaciousness to listen, you know, like the almost the fire of solitude so that I can receive what the new. So that's one of the, you know, for me, I definitely burn out and I just completely collapse. But yeah, also, I have a tendency to be a real, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to do it by myself. Nobody has to help me. And I'm going to, you know, and in fact, you're too slow. So I, you know, hurry up already. And, you know, so I've been also really trying to cultivate working with people and letting them give their gifts with me in a, you know, like when we are building things together, where we're moving at different paces and trusting that the collaboration is really key. Because, you know, Aries and Leo, they're just profoundly solo signs. And Moon in Capricorn has her own solo energy. And so I know that if I want to engage in the Aquarius age and the Aquarian age and the Aquarius energy in the most powerful way, I have to turn my attention to what we can create together, you know, and not just my ongoing monologue, you know.
Time. Yes, I know, right? And I do think systemically too, we're all sort of deprogramming from the urgent timeline of our economy and our systems that we have. And so I've been doing a lot of healing with my Aries around thinking about my own urgency and like why I have to have things, why I want things from people so quickly, putting pressure on other people to be on some sort of inner timeline that I have that may not even really be my pure Aries and maybe like something to be burned away that's been indoctrinated from outside of myself.
I laugh because my dad, who is like Aries to the nth degree and much more like, I have Saturn on my sun. So my Aries is quite modified. Like it's really reined in, but he will send emails for years. He's sent me emails with capital letters in the subject heading that say urgent, urgent, urgent. And it's really nothing. It's just like, could you call me back about, you know, this question that I have, but he somehow, and so my whole body is wired to this like urgent, urgent. So I'm with you in trying to calm down the urgency. But you're lucky you have all that gorgeous Pisces, you know, you have all that, you know, so much beautiful Pisces that can bring a pool of quiet and stillness to, you know,
but the urgency. With your Mercury in Pisces, like right where my sun is, and or Cancer. Yes, yes, yes. I know. I think that's good for us. I was going to ask you, since it's such a big year with Aquarius and Taurus, and the squares between Saturn and Uranus between those places, I was wondering if you might share with us that something that might help other Leo risings. If things are coming up for you, I feel like everyone I talk to, it's sort of very literal, and it's very out in the open, whatever they feel on a personal level, put collective over here. Curious if things have been coming up for you, because you have Taurus in the whole sign chart, which is what I use, at the 10th house of career. And I'm wondering if things are shaking up. You don't have to share anything, obviously, if you don't want to.
No. I mean, for sure, I actually have the square that just happened between Uranus and Saturn was exactly on my north node. And also Uranus has been sort of at my midheaven for, you know, over the last year. And so for sure there is this interesting dance between what I have steadily built, Saturn, you know, Saturn over there in my sixth house, like things are paying off that I have built for years and years and years, you know, all the showing up is paying off. And simultaneously, Uranus is like, just throw it all away. Just start over. Just go move somewhere and turn off all, you know, all connection. I mean, definitely there's this incredible urge to like overhaul or just break free. And And I know that I can channel it in a different way, but at its worst, it's very restless and uncomfortable, and things don't feel like they fit right anymore. And at its best, I know that something is a teaching in me for myself and for others is finally being liberated. And Saturn is actually helpful in that, because it's keeping me just quietly showing up, even if at times it feels restrictive, you know?
Yes. Yes. Wow.
helps a lot.
I know. All the Taurus placement people in my life, that theme of the restlessness and just sense of the nervous system being destabilized seems to be just such a common theme. My daughter actually is a Taurus sun, and she's been having the Uranus right on her sun. I've been watching her closely. She doesn't realize it's happening, but I can witness it in her. And it's funny to think, like, what if you didn't know this?
Right. Right. Yeah. How what would you
actualize these, you know, the feelings that you're having, right? It's so helpful to know.
Well, I don't know about you. I'm ridiculous, because here I've, you know, been studying astrology for my entire life, basically. And occasionally I'll be like, why am I so, you know, fill in the blank? And then I'll just completely forget. I'll just completely forget about a transit in a way. Like, and then I'll suddenly say, oh my God, you know, I have this strange relationship to transit sometimes, where it's as if I don't know. It's as if I'm, you know, these things are happening. And then suddenly I'll write myself and go, of course, Heidi, Uranus is on your midheaven. And, you know, it's just, you know, maybe it's good that I'm not totally enmeshed with every single moment being astrological, you know.
I feel exactly the same way. It's like once I write it out or wherever I'm putting it, it's just sort of then I begin living my life again. And then sometimes I have to like open up the notes that I took. Like, what did I say about today?
oh, totally. Oh my gosh. I'm so with you on that. I don't know. It's also interesting because in esoteric astrology, and you probably know this, it's like there's soul-centered rulers, but there's another set of rulers that are called hierarchical, or they're the spirit level. And Uranus is deeply connected to Aries. Mm-hmm. Uranus rules Aries at the hierarchical level. So the simplest way of saying that is that you have to look at the relationship between Uranus and Aries. So I also feel like something is happening with all this Uranus activity hitting the North Node and hitting my Venus this next year, you know, that has to do with ideas and new ideas and a boldness around communication. And, you know,
about how Taurus rules the throat, among other things, and just how your voice has such a Venus and Taurus quality, the sensual way that you speak and the way you read poetry. And it'll be very interesting to see what wants to come through for you as a speaker.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to be writing some more poetry and sharing it. You know, I think I go through phases in my life of the artist and the teacher, and some and they can blend. But I've been doing a lot of teaching, and my little artist self is like, Heidi. So maybe I can have a little, you know, downtime to create, I hope.
Yes. As Uranus approaches Venus, I imagine Venus will start to insist that you take some time for that in yourself and then share it.
yes, exactly. I'm actually, you know about this too. It's like when you look forward to certain sort of once in a lifetime transits, you're like, ooh, I can't wait for that. You know, that's one that I am very excited about, is Uranus lined up with Venus.
Yes. That would be like around this time next year-ish. On into the next.
Yes, it will hit this year. Am I lying? Because here I'm looking forward to it, and suddenly I'm doubting myself about. I think you're right. It's next year.
Looks like it will be about a year from now.
And then three times into
2023. 2022 to 2023. Yeah. Like, keep an eye out, Heidi Rose Robbins.
You're sweet.
Shake foot. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Why don't you share with us, I had asked you if you might share a poem inspired by fire. So I would love to.
I would love to do that. I thought, you know, what better poem to share than the poem I was talking about a little bit earlier called Burn. And it's the first poem in my second poetry book called Wild Compassion. And it actually is in the section that's called The Burning Ground. So, you know, come on, let's be on the nose about this. And I wrote this poem inspired by Hafiz. He had a line that said, love is the funeral pyre where the heart must lay its body, which is, you can really live with that for a whole long time. Love is the funeral pyre where the heart must lay its body. But this is the poem. The contour of doubt, the shape of not enough, the crumple of imperfection, this ungainly, awkward body of fear. I lay now on the funeral pyre. Burn away the weight of perceived lack. Burn away the sadness of never enough. Burn away the need to be the first, the only, the brightest star. Burn away the critical eye. Burn to ash the one that withholds love for fear there is a diminishing supply. Set me ablaze with the resplendent beauty of the world. Fire me with the wonder of the gifts others give to light my way. Ignite in me the fierce lover of all, the one who stops at nothing to see another thrive. Burn this body of doubt and fear and leave me the smallest ember of blazing truth. I will tend that flame, the flame of the purest, most radical love, the eternal flame, my human heart.
Oh, thank you so much. I wish I could, see you writing it furiously. on the thing. It's very healing too, as much as it is uplifting. And very beautiful.
I think I've always with poems, I feel like I write them to live them. Do you know what I mean? I write them because I want to learn to live them.
Yes, it's like a ritual act to make the thing so. Oh, I love that so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, why don't you finish by sharing what you've got going on, how people can work with you, if there's anyone listening to this that doesn't already know.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, best to visit me at HeidiRose.com. And also just to say, I just this past holiday season put out 12 little astrological love letters. And that to me was a fiery act as well, because I wrote them not to bring huge amounts of information about the sign. I wrote them as love letters and encouragement to remind us who we are. And there's one for every sign, and you can buy them wherever you buy your books. But they're all called like Aries, a love letter, Taurus, a love letter. So I'm having so much fun getting those out into the world. And I'm teaching astrology, as you know, consistently. So you can find that on the website as well.
And definitely follow you on Instagram for the moon notes, among other wonderful posts.
Yes. Thanks. And that's just at Heidi Rose Robbins. You can find me there and on Instagram.
Thank you for sharing your light with everyone and your fire. You illuminate all of us.
Thank you, Britton. It was a total joy.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Moon to Moon. I hope you were fascinated by the great Heidi Rose Robbins. I'd like to invite you to connect in to whatever part of the episode, whatever was said or felt that most resonated with you here so that you know it and name it. If you are interested in connecting more with the fire within yourself, something that I recommend is to try to be around fire, literally. I've learned this from being in love with a Sagittarius moon man who finds probably some of the most pleasure in his life from lighting fires, sitting with the fire, smelling fire, knowing there's a fire going somewhere on the property, cooking with fire. It's very endearing, and I get it. I've come to really enjoy visualizing fire within myself wherever I want to ignite it. I find it very, very helpful to visualize fire at the root chakra at the base of the spine, and feel it growing there, and then asking it to move up my spine and back down and back up again. That can be very helpful for energizing the system. I also find it very helpful to light a fire at my heart and feel it grow and open and feel ablaze with warmth and love. I also find it very helpful to light a fire at my third eye, my sixth chakra, to kind of glow up my whole head with this light and move out distracting voices or distracting concerns or worries or other people's nattering on that I hear in my head, which is often. So that those might be some little tools you appreciate. Something that I share in the Sagittarius book is a passage about fire and humans that I learned from, it's Eva either Rysdyk or Rysdyk, R-Y-S-D-Y-K. Her book, The Norse Shaman, Ancient Spiritual Practices of the Northern Tradition, is really beautiful, insightful book. Definitely recommend it. You don't have to be of Norse lineage, and she's really clear about this, to learn a lot from the book. I am of Norse lineage, which is why I purchased the title, but turns out like it's very open and inclusive, which I appreciate. She talks about how our human ancestors spent so much time with fire, and we really lose this in modern life. Like, we as humans have become disconnected with the essential qualities of fire that make, that build the relationship, you know? And she really blew my mind in this passage, which I want to share with you now. Firelight produces a stroboscopic effect where darkness and light alternate rapidly back and forth. The rhythmic rate at which this occurs approximates low alpha and theta wave brain states. This brain activity is consistent with the experience of the shamanic state of consciousness. Since life revolved around the fire, our ancestors were exposed to the trance-inducing, photic driving of firelight every evening of their lives. Altered consciousness is not only natural to our species, we have been doing it for hundreds of thousands of years. This state assists in creating new connections between neurons. In other words, trance assists in rewiring the brain. If this is true, it is not so much that shamanism is a part of our ancient way of relating to the world around us. It is what helped us to understand ourselves and our relationship to the world, enabled us to remember our past, and ponder the future. In other words, trance contributed in creating us as a species. And so before I closed this episode, I wanted to ring that in, because to me, this connection between fire and trance, or fired and altered states, and fire and shamanic forms of consciousness, we might say, has a different feeling than other forms of fire that were discussed throughout the rest of this episode. And I really resonate with this as a Pisces person who enjoys trance states and altered forms of consciousness already. I think this is what I have come to love about being with my beloved by the fire, is just going into the fire, you know, into a different state. And it's especially beautiful doing it with him. And I can imagine, you know, doing it with a whole circle of people, right? Where you're all together, kind of together, but in your own self too, at the same time, connected together by the fire and its stroboscopic effects and what it's doing to you, you know? And feeling that sense of like just relaxation and peace that comes over the body when you go into the fire. And then what it does to the brain is, it just opens up so much visualization and the possibility of like being in a receptive place to have sight, you know? Which I think is part of why fire is such a big part of ritual creation, ritual processing, is that the fire being there helps facilitate the state of mind you want to be in order to receive wisdom. And so I did want to speak to that because it's a very different kind of fire than, say, talking about Mars and the will, or the sun and like being visible out in the world, you know? This has a journeying quality that is more Sagittarius to me, which is why I put that in the Sagittarius book, which speaks to perhaps the Jupiterian qualities of fire. And I wanted to speak to it. I also have to share then that I realized that Moon to Moon is a Sagittarius moon. I went back and checked the chart of the first episode of Moon to Moon, and Moon to Moon is a Pisces sun and Sagittarius moon, so it's very Jupiterian being. So I'm partly honoring everything that I'm learning about Sagittarius moon between my beloved and this podcast, and sharing what I think Moon to Moon can be, is like a space to like speak about what we can learn from that kind of journeying with the fire self, among other things, of course. So that's fun for me to share. If you have enjoyed this episode, please, please, please consider giving a rating and a review to Moon to Moon. I haven't received one in a while, and I totally know what it's like to listen to podcasts regularly and never rate and review. I catch myself doing this, but it doesn't take very long, and it's a huge help to me. This is still a very like unseen or hidden podcast, you might say. It's a little gem for many people, but I want it to be a gem for more people. So you would be doing me a great favor if you receive from this podcast, please give back to the podcast by giving it a rating and a review, by subscribing, by posting in your stories about it, by sending your friends the episodes that you love, so that more people can find this space. So thank you very much. And final reminder, if you are curious about the journey of the workshop circle for emerging readers that I'm going to be hosting this spring, please go to my website. There'll be a link in the show notes to the Magician's Table tab. And there's many, many buttons throughout it for you to join the waiting list. Of course, the waiting list is not an obligation in any way, but it allows you to be informed for when the applications are open, before I will publicly open them. because it's possible that the 12 spots will be taken straight away by the first people willing to commit. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're doing well. I hope you enjoyed it. Be in touch. Cheers.